Okay, we'll start the sutta teaching session and first we'll pay homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. So we were discussing Sabiya Sutta last time we started that. And if I just summarize what we have already discussed, basically Sabhya Paribrajika, so the is one of the wandering ascetics, and while he was practicing that wandering asceticism, so one of the deities came across and he very much like instructed him to go forth under a teacher who is actually giving an explanation or answers to certain questions. So this deity actually taught him 20 questions and asked him to look for a teacher who is capable of answering these questions. So now Sabiya is wandering, seeking various teachers, and he come across the already popular teachers like Purnakassapa, Makkali Gosala, Ajita Kesakambali, Pakuda Kachayana, Sanjay Bellattiputta and the Nigantanathputta. So they are the fairly popular and old renowned teachers during that time. So he went to them, but unfortunately they are not openly ready to discuss these questions, and rather they ask questions from Sabiya. So ultimately, Sabiya was really disappointed about the situation, because they are the well-renowned teachers and he has now several questions to get certain clarification, and so they are not capable of answering it. So whom am I going to ask this? So therefore, this Sabiya got disappointed and he thought of even giving up this ascetic life and to get on to the typical sensual life. But anyway, he got another thought. This Samana Gotama is also ascetic. Gotama is also a teacher starting a lineage and a group, and he too is now becoming popular. But he thought of discussing with the Buddha. But anyway, another thought came to him. So this Buddha is very young. So this is the early time, early stages of the Buddha, and this Buddha is very young when compared to those six masters. So they are very, very old. So even though, so when they can't answer these questions, so then how this young Samana Gotama going to ask these questions? So this is the thought occurred to Sabiya. But anyway, another interesting thought occurred to him, that is, I should not look down ascetic, a samana, just because he is young. So there may be very intelligent and skillful teacher who still could be young. So therefore, I should not belittle him. So he ultimately decided to meet the Buddha. So he now approached the Buddha and start asking questions. Now, this Sabiya actually has some old relationships. We can remember, if you can remember this, there are three monks during this sasana, Bahiyadarucheriya, Pukkusati and this Sabiya. So these three are in a way companions of the previous Buddha's time. There were five monks during the previous Buddha's time, that is Buddha Kassapa. And at that time, the Buddha Kassapa's sasana was declining, and these five bhikkhus decided to practice dedicating their whole life. So they found a rock, they climbed to that using a ladder, and ultimately once they arrived at the peak, so they have destroyed the ladder, and now they want to practice dedicating totally to the dedicating totally their life. So one of them actually become an arahant, and he was with all the psychic powers, and he tried to sort of help the others, but they refused, and so this arahant went away. Then another monk became an anagami, non-returner, and he too want to help the others, but the others refuse. Help in the sense using the food and all, but others refuse, and he also left. But now three monks left, and those three monks couldn't attain anything, and they passed away while being on the summit of the mountain without attaining anything. Now they three are the ones actually born during the Buddha's time, our Buddha's time, after going through lifetimes in the heavenly realms. Now they are born to our Buddha's time, and one of them is Bahyadharucirya. So after hearing Buddha's teachings, so he is the one who instantaneously become an arahant. And then Pukkusati, so the information is available in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, how he became a non-returner, anagami. And now this Venerable Sabiya, an ascetic Sabiya, is the other person. Now he is meeting the Buddha. Now this is another, the third person. Now this Sabiya is now asking questions. And the questions are very much fairly deep. And the answers are also very, very deep. And particularly the suttas available in this Sutta Nipata are very deep but very concise. So therefore it may take some time for us to understand the true meaning and various shadow meanings and certain deeper meanings of these little verses, because everything is very much concisely put into a verse, and Buddha is trying to elaborate the answers. And again, another interesting point of Sutta Nipata is the objective is to attain arahanthood, nothing else. So basically, the people who are meeting the Buddha are very potential people, filled with perfections, paramis, and therefore Buddha directly point them out towards the arahantship. So therefore, there are no suttas talking about the Sohan, Sakadagami, Anagami states, but rather mostly they are talking about the arahantship. So here in this sutta also the same theme we can recognize. So Buddha is pointing out directly towards the full attainment or full enlightenment. Now Sabiya is asking, so basically he has arrived with a lot of questions and now fairly perplexed. So please answer these questions and keep an end to these questions. And then Buddha agreed, and Buddha welcomed the questions. And that welcoming attitude itself is something that Sabiya was surprised, because he didn't see such kind of a welcoming attitude from the other teachers. But Buddha, on the other hand, was showing such a welcoming attitude. So any question is now welcome. And now Sabiya is asking questions, and he is asking, what has he attained, the one they call a bhikkhu? In what way is one gentle, and how do they call one tamed? How is one said to be enlightened? When asked by me, blessed one, please answer. Now, kim patti namahu bhikkhunam soratam kena katancha dantamahu buddhoti katam pauchati putto me bhagava vyakarohi. So basically, directly asking who is the Buddha, who is the monk, proper monk, how one is enlightened. So these are fairly difficult questions in a way, directly targeting the full enlightenment. So now Buddha is answering, Pajjena katena attana parinibbana gato vitinna kanko vibhavancha bhavancha vipahaya Usitava kina punabhavo sabhikku. When by the path practiced by oneself, one has attained Nibbana, crossed over doubt, abandoned non-existence and existence, lived the spiritual life, and finished with renewed existence. He is a bhikkhu, he is the fully enlightened person, the arahant. And then the next question, and further answer, sabbatta upekkako satima naso hinsati kanchi sabbaloki tinno samano anavilo ussada yassana santi sorato so. Sabbatta upekkako satima, so equanimous toward everything, and satima, mindful. Naso hinsati kanchi sabbaloki, one who has not injured anyone in all the world. Tinno samano anavilo, an ascetic who has crossed over and unsullied. Ussada yassana santi sorato so, and he has no swellings, ups and downs, so we can say the ripples in his mind, so his mind is completely peaceful and he is gentle. And then yassa indriyani bhavitani ajjattang bahidda cha sabba loki nibbijja imang parancha lokang kalang kankati bhavito sa dantu. So we can start from here. Yassa indriyani bhavitani, one whose faculties have been developed. Ajjattam bahidda cha sabba loke, internally and externally in all the world. Nibbijja imang parancha lokam, and having pierced through this world and the next. Kalam khankati bhavito sadanto, one developed who awaits the time, he is tamed. Now there are very interesting points we can recognize here, understand here. Yassa indriyani bhavitan. So here Buddha highlights one whose faculties have been developed. Now faculties. Now typically we consider faculties eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body. But when we are coming to the spiritual side, there are five faculties Buddha refer. That is saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, panya. Saddha is the faith, virya the effort, sati mindfulness, samadhi collectedness, panya the wisdom. Now these faculties are to be developed, and here you can see whose faculties have been developed. Now the arahant is the person who has fully developed these faculties, and saddha he has completed. Now he don't need even saddha. And virya, effort, he has completed. Now his mind has become effortless. Sati, mindfulness, has also become effortless. To that level it has developed. Samadhi, collectedness, has developed to the level of complete openness, complete, freedom of the mind. Panya, the wisdom, is also developed so that he fully penetrated the Four Noble Truths. Now these faculties are actually something that we have to deliberately develop, and they are evolving. Say for example, the faith faculty. So at the beginning you may have a certain amount of respect towards the Buddha, love towards the Buddha, respect towards Dhamma, Sangha. So likewise, so it's a kind of a faith we have. So we pay homage to the Buddha, we pay homage to the Dhamma, Sangha, we go to the temple and we offer flowers, light candles or lamps. So we have that sort of faith. And then later that faith may lead to further read certain teachings and have a discussion with a monk, a nun. So likewise now the faith is as a result of the faith, now you arriving, you are searching certain people, teachers, and you arrive that place, start associating and start asking questions, and you become somewhat further convinced about the teaching, and now you start practicing. And in order to practice, you need fair amount of effort. So you are maintaining fair amount of effort, and now you are practicing, and time to time there are ups and downs, but the effort always help you to maintain your practice. Now effort is managed properly, and mindfulness is always have to be available, and we start developing mindfulness and trying to develop mindfulness during the walking, mindfulness during the breathing. So likewise, so we are expanding the mindfulness, and that also evolving. Now you are able to maintain mindfulness fairly during the daily activities even and you may be able to maintain continuous mindfulness, and that is another level. Then samadhi. So you need to keep your attention on a selected object, focused attention, and later, so your mind is capable of being concentrated again and again onto the oncoming phenomena, and as a result of that, say you are able to understand their true nature, and once fair amount of understanding is available, mind may get temporarily released. And at that moment, mind is collected but not concentrated. Collected but not focused onto any particular object, rather mind has opened. Mind has become released. Mind has become, freed. So the concentration we are talking at that level is quite different from the concentration what we are talking at the focused attention level. So you can see there is a kind of an evolution. And then the wisdom also like that. So you may start by recognizing various phenomena, understanding, say, the elements, and then trying to understand their true nature, their rising, passing away, changing nature, and then how they are impermanent, how they are unsatisfactory, how they are non-self. So this is another level of evolution of the wisdom. So as the wisdom growing, so at different levels we can recognize the wisdom of the dissolution of various phenomena, and once the mind being somewhat freed, and at that level one may be maintaining fair amount of wisdom. So the wisdom also is evolving. So you can see we are starting with developing from somewhere, but slowly all the faculties are evolving, and these faculties are to be well balanced. For example, saddha with the wisdom are to be balanced. Then effort with samadhi, virya with samadhi have to be balanced. So the mindfulness being in the middle is the one monitoring the sort of state of the mind. So what part or what side, which side I have to adjust, I have to balance, I have to improve, or I have to little decrease. So likewise, a kind of a balancing of effort or balancing of faculties, another very important part of the practice. And one whose faculties have been developed, and then yasindriyani bhavitani ajjattam bahiddacha sabba loke nibbiccha imang parancha loka. Now internally and externally in all the world, having pierced through this world and the next. So we can combine these together. So he have penetrated. He has some penetrating wisdom. So internally as well as externally. Now if you refer Satipatthana Sutta, so there are internal and external being highlighted. Iti ajjattam va kaye kayanu passe vihati, iti bahiddha va kaye kayanu passe vihati. Ajjatta bahindha vakaye kayanu passi viharati. So similarly Buddha explained two feelings, perceptions, or the thought moments, and to the consciousness. So likewise we can see, so one may start developing the practice with respect to one's own body, recognizing the individual characteristics, recognizing what is closer to you, and what is available to you, And you may then even expand it to your own mind, recognizing various thoughts, how they are arising, passing away, changing, all these things. So when you develop that knowledge, actually inferentially you can recognize the same nature available in the outside as well. Sometimes you may be able to do a little bit of investigation to the outside phenomena as well, but mostly once you develop a penetrative wisdom using the internal phenomena, say the body and the mind, so these internal phenomena, so the same thing can be extended towards the outside phenomena. Internally and externally in all the world, and having pierced through this world and the next. Now this world and the next. Now as one is developing wisdom, so some thorough understanding about the Parisamuppada, the dependently arisen nature of the phenomena, and how it has happened in the past, how it is happening right now, how it can happen in the future. So likewise, he may be able to expand the knowledge. So at the beginning, our knowledge may be very narrow. You are keeping your attention only to the elements, for example. So those elements are also internal elements. And we are talking only about the four elements. So in a way, understanding could be, or the experiment could be somewhat narrow. But as one is developing it, it start expanding. Now you can see the whole body, now you can see the so-called body being pierced, so-called body being scattered into pieces. And maybe even the outside things, you feel that they are very much like not solid. Their compactness has been penetrated. And their continuity has been penetrated. So typically this compactness, what we call as a gana sanya, is one of the key things that we need to penetrate, because otherwise we are being bounded by the compactness. We think that this body is one thing and within this I exist, or this body belongs to me, or I am this body. So likewise, various misunderstandings can happen by taking this body as a single thing, a single compact unit. But through wisdom, through vipassana, when one is penetrating that, so that wrong view may be eliminated. So similarly, when we are continuing our life, as being born as a baby and then growing a youngster and then a young person and a youth, a middle-aged person. So likewise, so when the life continues, we feel like I am living. I am there, I am living, I had the past, I am currently living, I will be available in the future. So likewise, I feel like I am living. So we get that notion of living, existence. But when through vipassana, when you see the things, how quickly they arise and pass away, so this I exist is something that we can't properly express in a way. I do not exist, also something that we can't express. So that's why Buddha mentioned, so without going to these two extremes, exist or does not exist. So without going to these two extremes, so he is teaching the Dhamma in the middle. So that is with respect to the dependent origination. So likewise, so kind of a penetrative wisdom, so that he can penetrate this world as and again the next world. Nibbijja imam paranchaloka kalam kankati bhavito sadanto. Now one developed and who awaits the time, he is tamed. Now waiting for what? Now waiting for the death. So this is a very interesting point that we can understand how an arahant is awaiting. So he has become an arahant, now there is nothing more to do. So he may simply continue his life till the life faculty is available, till the momentum that he carried forward is available, he is continuing his life. But once passed away, that's all. So the kindle has gone, the fire has gone. And even while living, he is not making a self. Even while living, he understood, he penetrated how, as a result of the ignorance, that he created the self. But now, by uprooting ignorance, now he is maintaining a very peaceful mind, having understood the convention I am, having understood the convention of individuality. He understands the convention as convention, and as a result of that, he is not being bound to that. So likewise, we can see after completed that understanding, or after gained that full understanding, basically he has nothing to do. Usitava kata karaniyo. So Buddha sometimes explained that the arahant, usitava kata karaniyo. So he has accomplished the task. He has completed the task. And usitava, so he has completed the brahmacharya life, the celibate life. So that means, so one becomes a monk and start leading a celibate life, expecting some sort of a deliverance. Now, the arahant is the person who accomplished that. Now, he has accomplished the task, he has completed the task, no, nothing else to do. Now, since nothing else is available to do, now he is simply awaiting for the death. There is no any objective of living longer, there is no objective of killing himself or suiciding himself, that is also not there. He is simply continuing the life, that momentum that he carried forward, till death happens. So another way of putting it, very interesting way, that how one is spending time awaiting for the death. Not that he hates life, but he understood that there is no person to live. He understood that it's a kind of these five aggregates continuing. So he carried forward kind of aggregates because of the past ignorance. He was attached to them, he was grasping them. Now he has fully penetrated that, fully abandoned craving, fully abandoned grasping, but still some momentum is carried forward from the through these aggregates. Now after that momentum exhaust, so the whole thing collapse. Now we can consider this is very much like you are running a vehicle, and while you run a vehicle, say, in between, while you are in a long distance road, suppose there are no other vehicles, and in between, assume that you ran out of fuel, but you had kind of a momentum. You are driving, say, at the speed of 60 miles per hour, so that is the momentum, that is the speed you had, but at that moment, assume that you ran out of fuel. But still the car is continuing. It is still the car is moving forward because of the momentum that you carried forward. Since you don't have fuel anymore, definitely it's going to get stopped. So something like that. Now you are, while being the driver, now you are expecting that complete stop, complete standstill. Because you know very well, okay, this is going to stop. Because there are no fuel available. I'm just running this business out of fuel. It is not a fuel shortage, but you completely ran out of fuel. So the car is moving forward just because of the momentum. So similarly, the arahant also is continuing his five aggregates, but he is not attached to them. He is not grasping them. And as a result of that, he is not accumulating them. He is not holding them. Rather, he has already scattered them, and they are very much like going through their last breath, going through their last laps. So he is simply awaiting for the final parinibbana. Now, as we discussed during the last sermon, or rather last sutta teaching session, that the Yamaka Sutta explained that there is no person here, but kind of dhammata, certain say conditioned phenomena are continuing due to various causes and conditions, and till that causes and conditions exist, this whole process may continue. By exhausting those causes and conditions, this process may stop. Now, and bhavito sa danto, so bhavito, so he has basically developed those faculties, and danto he has tamed. Now, at the beginning, our minds are not tamed, so they are jumping from this to that, and they have so many different kinds of desires. There is no any rest, there is no any peace. But now, when one has developed, fully penetrated all these things, so his mind has become completely tamed. And further Buddha mentioned, Kappani vichaya kevalani sansarang dubbhayam chutupapatam vigata rajana vigata raja mananganam visuddham pattam jatikkhayam tamahu buddhanti. Now he is giving an explanation about the Buddha. Having examined all mental constructs, sansara and sansara, both passing away and rebirth, rid of dust, unblemished, purified, one who has attained the destruction of birth, they call him enlightened. Now, kappani vichaya kevalani, sansara. Now, all these mental constructs, including the whole sansara, he has vichaya, he has understood, he has examined, he investigated. Chutupapatam, and arising and passing away, both rebirth and again coming into being, passing away and again coming into being, passing away and again coming into being. So he understood this whole cycle. Vigata raja mananganam. So basically he has abandoned all the defilements, rid of dust. So dust is the defilements actually. So his mind has completely purified as a result of that, unblemished, visuddham, purified. Vigata raja, so the dust is abandoned, dust is removed. Suppose that the mind is filled with lust, filled with various defilements, and one is able to slowly purify the mind. Now this purifying the mind is sometimes very interestingly explained in certain suttas, very much like soil purification and taking out the gold. You know, there are certain areas the gold is somewhat available in the soil, so they may use various kinds of techniques to extract gold, to refine the gold. So at the first level, they may take the rough impurities out. There may be wood particles, there may be stones. So likewise, various large scale impurities are there. So the first stage, so they remove that large scale or the most easiest kind of impurities. So that is being abandoned. The next level is another subtle level purification. They may wash it out and they may use very refined strainers, so that even the little particles of the impurities, this cheap granite and all, so that also being removed. Another level, maybe very subtle impurities are there. So now they may be using a furnace or something, and they are putting everything together there, and then they start burning it, boiling it, again and again doing that. So ultimately they may get some amount of fragile gold. But still it is not suitable to prepare very refined ornaments, very refined jewelry. So they may have to do another level of purification, refinement. So a very subtle level of refinement in order to remove even these subtle impurities. So then only they may get the pure gold. So likewise Buddha explained, so this purification process. One may start with the abandoning or restraining oneself with the gross level of Kaya Duccharita, Vachi Duccharita, Mano Duccharita. So those are the unwholesome deeds conducted by the body, the speech and the mind. So one may start abandoning that. So now as a result of the Sila, one has somewhat purified himself. But now there are obvious kind of wrong or rather Michya Vitakkas are there, wrong views are there, or wrong thoughts are there. Kama Vitakka, Vyapada Vitakka, Vihinsa Vitakka. So those are the gross level of defilements, thoughts. So that is also being abandoned. Then even subtle Vitakkas are there, subtle thoughts are there. Very difficult to understand. Janapada Vitakka, Labha Sakkara Patisangyutta Vitakka. So various thoughts related to the government, maybe various thoughts related to the country, to the region, to the planet, to the city, to the village, and certain thoughts related to the health, certain thoughts related to the gain and fame. So likewise, subtle defilements, we can't actually even understand why they are necessary to abandon. Now those thoughts are also slowly abandoned. And now even the certain still some restlessness can happen. That is also being subsided, that is also being quenched. And then one may arrive kind of a calmness, stillness, peacefulness. So likewise Buddha interestingly mentioned about this kind of a very systematic approach, kind of a step-by-step process of purification. Vigata Raja Manangana Visuddham Pattang Jati Khayam. So he has now arrived complete destruction of the birth. No more rebirth for him. Khina Jati. So he has completely destroyed the Jati, the rebirth. Tamahu Buddhanti. And he is, they call him enlightened. He is the Buddha. Now you can see, these verses are very concise, but the whole Patipada, the whole practice is very much highlighted within this short verse. So therefore, it requires a fair amount of elaboration for us to understand what it's meant. Because otherwise it would be very difficult to understand for us. But there are people like Sabiya, Bahyadaruchirya and various others who may have that kind of a capacity, who has developed these faculties for a long, long time. Now in this case, Sabiya being a monk during the Kassapa Buddha's time, he has developed. He even decided to dedicate his life, give up his life and try to attain. So that kind of a dedication, that kind of a previous work, that kind of a previous meditative life is something we can understand through these stories. It is not that merely by hearing this Buddha's teaching at this time that he was able to fully understand everything and become an arahant. Rather, he had a great potential. And the questions that he want to sort out are also very philosophical and difficult to answer. So that's why those six teachers, even though they are popular and old, they couldn't answer them. But Buddha is now answering them because he has fully enlightened and he is giving the explanation about even the arahantship, even the Buddhahood, fully enlightened being. And all these things are very much interesting points a curious spiritual practitioner may go through. Say when one is not much familiar with Buddhist teaching, so he may start investigating. So who is the Buddha? How one is going to get enlightened? So how one is able to purify one's mind? How one can stop rebirth? How one can completely be free from this suffering? So these are very interesting and very common questions you all may have. So when we start the spiritual path, so we are starting the path because we need some answers, some concrete solutions to these questions. So now Sabiya, also being a very intelligent person, now Buddha being answering these questions, so now he is attentively listening and he is developing a fair amount of wisdom. Okay, we'll discuss further next time. And next again, Sabi is asking another question. So with that, actually, we'll take it to the next week. With that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Pante. Sadhu. If there are any questions, feel free to raise your hand or send them via the chat. Are there any questions on your side, Bhante?
This side also very silent today. So all are, you know, all are in a very silent mood.
Well, we have Joseph here breaking the icebreaker here. So
good.
Joseph, can you unmute?
Thank you, Jennifer. Hello, Bhante.
Yes, how are you?
Hello. Thank you. Hello. Thank you for today's sutta teaching. For the final example for purifying the mind, those five, six stages, so starting by abandoning unwholesome deeds, so that would be the sila, like the precepts, and then abandon gross defilements or gross thoughts, and then abandon subtle defilements and thoughts. And you mentioned we can't understand why to abandon them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could expand a bit on some of those and how we would tackle that, not like I can't understand why I shouldn't do that kind of mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah. So the thing is, now, say for example, now if we get a lustful thought, I mean, it may be easy to understand, yeah, it may... It will spoil the mind and it can lead to kind of arouse, kind of burning in the mind. So likewise, it's quite easy to understand why we have to abandon lustful thoughts. Maybe even angry thoughts, we may be able to understand why we need to abandon. But in the case of, say, thoughts related to the country, thoughts related to one's own, say, village or city. So why we need to abandon? So it's difficult to understand at the very beginning. So maybe sometimes we start thinking about it and we even justify why we need to think about it. And but ultimately, there are these subtle thoughts ultimately leading to maybe certain angry thoughts, maybe leading to some lustful, greedy kind of thoughts. They may end up with those gross defilements. And that is one reason that we need to abandon. And on the other hand, so now say for example, if we consider Dvidha Vitakka Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, so Buddha mentioned that he was able to first categorize thoughts, wholesome thoughts and unwholesome thoughts. He is categorizing. And whenever a wholesome thought occurs, so he, say, we'll start with unwholesome. Whenever an unwholesome thought occurs, he understood that this is going to be harmful. It is harmful to myself, harmful to another person, to both sides. And it is taking me away from Nibbana, away from peacefulness. So likewise, he understands its true nature or its harm. And as a result of that, those thoughts become sort of weaker and disappeared. On the other hand, when he get a wholesome thought, he understood, yeah, this is a wholesome thought. It is not harmful. It is beneficial to me, beneficial to the others. And it is getting closer to Nibbana. So likewise, he understand there are benefits. So as a result of that, the wholesome side is improving. Now he come to a stage, his mind is filled with wholesome thoughts. Now interestingly, so now he understood, now today, every day I was thinking wholesome thoughts, but this thinking wholesome thoughts itself become somewhat exhausting. I feel tired. I feel tired by thinking like that. So how about calming down these wholesome thoughts now? So it's very much like the sensitivity of the mind is improved, and that sensitive mind can't bear even the wholesome thoughts. Now he wants to completely silence the mind. So inner chatter, this volitional thinking, volitional formations have to calm down so that it feels like it's a kind of a burden. So now he decides, okay, let me completely quieten the mind. Now he's quietening the mind. And once the mind is fully quietened, fully relaxed, fully calmed down, and now he has another level of wisdom coming through the silence. So therefore, even though certain thoughts appear wholesome, even though certain thoughts appear justifiable, but ultimately we have to understand their kind of gross nature, their burden in nature to the mind, and try to slowly keep them aside so that mind may start resting. Mind has its own peace. So therefore, this is the another area that we need to understand. It is at one level, we need wholesome thoughts to replace unwholesome thoughts. And once it has been done, now we have to calm down even the wholesome thoughts and recognize kind of a freedom of the mind, quietening of the mind, silence of the mind. And that mind may be capable of understanding thoroughly about the latent tendencies and certain thought patterns and inner trends and all these things, the subtle aspects further available in our mind, may be able to recognize when we are capable of maintaining that kind of inner silence.
Well, that's very powerful to think about it.
Yes, yes.
At that level, that's a very, very powerful explanation.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
This is very interesting area. Actually, we need to explore them. So, as we continue our practice, time to time when we arrive that kind of inner silence, so to try to enjoy that inner silence, because sometimes it appear like very boring, there are no any excitement, it completely boring, and
right.
So these kind of difficulties may be available at the beginning, and you feel bored and you may even feel drowsy and you may start sleeping, so that also can happen. But slowly, when we get used to that and try to maintain that kind of an inner silence, so it may start maturing. So therefore, many teachers and the Buddha's teaching is therefore sometimes highlight If monks, if you are get together, you try to do two things. If there is something to talk, talk that only what is necessary for your practice. If not, keep yourself silent. The silence is not mere, you know, not talking, but how about the inner silence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's it's a whole other level of the subtlety.
Exactly.
And you know, I was also I've been making my way through The Magic of the Mind by Bhikkhu Nyanananda, and it's quite. You know, it's taken me a while to sort of make my way through because it feels like every sentence I have to stop and think about it.
Correct, correct.
You know, every page is like takes me a week to think about it. And one of the things he said that really struck me was he was talking about signs and the signification and how we tend to think that the objects we see, the signs that we have for those objects signify the object, but in fact, they're really signs, all the signs or most of the signs from what I understood are projections of our own greed, hatred, and delusion.
Exactly.
And so I was trying to really understand that directly, because it seemed kind of hard to make that. Like to notice that, but I did it a couple of times. Sort of, I think when I was most quiet and settled, like actually sitting, did notice that the sign, whatever the perception that came to mind, it seemed pretty obvious that it was a sign of. It was just the greed. It was the restlessness that was making this sign for some desirable object. And that idea that it's those taints that are creating signs was something I'd never considered before, never even thought about, or even heard of that kind of a perspective before. And I thought that was really it was really striking as just a way of you know thinking about these things. So I just wanted to share that with you as well.
Yeah. Actually, if you refer the footnote, so it is being referred in the Mahavedala Sutta, where Venerable Sariputta explaining that point. Rago ko auso nimitta karano, doso nimitta karano, moho nimitta karano. So basically the greed, hatred and delusion available in one's mind is the one actually working out during this signification, so taking out these signs. So depending on the levels, depending on the distinctions of these greed, hatred and delusion, that is how we signify. That is how we distinctly recognize whatever necessary information, abandoning unnecessary information. So who decides what is necessary? Who decides what is important? So that is the greed, hatred and delusion available in one's own mind.
Yeah, that's really the root of it, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Is to see that, to understand that.
Yes. Like,
and because it's just as a theory, it's kind of abstract, but that is an actual real thing that we can experience.
Exactly.
Like I can actually see that sign that appears, I can see that it's the greed. It's not like a me that created that sign. And I think that's it's just kind of a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's just amazing that it was understood and written down.
Exactly,
and that we can read about it. It's just amazing.
Yes, yeah. So really, eye-opening book, and I mean, it has been translated to many languages, and really, very interesting book.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to invite Darshika for the next question.
Hi, Shanti, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
I have a question, Bhante. I just want to find out when the mind is in the anidasana state, not a church, in the empty state, when we are watching the process, example, eating or walking the body, going, how would you explain that? Is it due to the past cause and effect, or how can you explain that?
Explain in the sense of what, I mean, you mean the process?
Yeah, so we are watching and we're watching the process, whatever we are doing, like
right.
Eating while eating or,
right.
Yeah.
So in one sense, as you said, it is cause and effect. So the body felt the hunger, it has given certain signal. And as a result of that, there is an intention to eat. Now the eating process is continuing. So you, rather than you are inserting any greed into the process and you inserting a self-view into the process, so we can simply watch how the process is going on. So that's why even the Buddha's case, so it is mentioned that even the Buddha is taking his meals and he may even feel the taste of the food, but there is no any trace of greed. Asa patisangvedi chako bhagava nocha rasa raga patisangvedi. So the rasa patisangvedi. So he can recognize various states. But there is no greed.
Yes.
There is no greed towards any of these. So likewise, so one can observe, investigate all these things, but defilements are not present. So in the Arahant's case is what explained to the Buddha. So the Arahants also may recognize the taste, their flavors, etc. But there is no any kind of greed towards that. So their minds are unattached.
Yes. Okay. And there's no new karma being formed.
Exactly. So actually for the karma to happen, we need to have a certain amount of ignorance, thinking that there is a person here and that person is intently doing something. So I am a person, I am so and so. I am intentionally want to do this. So that intentionality and that ignorance that there is a person, a being. So those components are very essential to generate karma. But if we simply allow a particular process to happen and we merely watch it without making a self, without making very intentional movements, then probably, I mean, we can understand we are recognizing kind of a path to avoid making newcomer.
Okay.
And you can remember in the Ratana Sutta, Kinam Puranam Navang Natti Sambhavam Viratta Chitta Ayatike Bhavasmi. So Buddha mentioned Kinam Puranam. So he has completely exhausted the old karma, Kinam Purana. Navang Natti Sambhavam. And there is no new karma being generated. Navang Natti Sambhavam. Viratta Chitta Ayatike Bhavasmi. So with undefiled faculties, he is maintaining, he is continuing his life. So very, very interesting way of putting it. So the whatever the karma available for him to have a future birth, particularly, and that is being completely abandoned. Now this is the last birth. Now this is called about the Arahant. And Navannati Sambhav, and he is not generating new karma. And with the undefiled mind, he is continuing his life. Now here actually when we are simply using the term he, actually there is no person here.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much, Bhante. Nice explanation.
Okay. Okay, I think since there are no more questions, am I correct, Jennifer?
Yes, Bhante,
okay.
There's no more questions.
Fine. Then we actually have spent 1 hour and we'll wind up the session, and whatever the merits that we have accumulated, we'll share with all the celestial beings or all the past relatives and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path fruition, Nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata cham hehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cham hehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cham hehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.